grateful. God, let's lift our hands. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We honor you. We reverence your presence. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your word in this place. Come on, you talk to him for a second. Father, we worship you and we praise you. We thank you. We honor you. We lift your name. Your name is worthy to be glorified. Oh, we bless your holy name in this place. You're a good God and we honor you. We love you right now. We thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody say thank you, Lord. Thank you for keeping me today. Thank you for keeping me yesterday. Thank you that you're going to keep me tomorrow. I believe you. You're a faithful God. And so we honor you. We lift our hands and surrender. We surrender to you right now in the name of Jesus. And we honor you right now in this place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We expect that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can open your Bible to John chapter 5. Ever since the beginning, when we messed up in Genesis, I say we messed up, amen, because I'm not going to blame Adam and Eve for something that I might do on a regular, because I possibly could be partaking from the tree of knowledge of good and evil on a regular. You know, we believe in morality more than we believe in holiness. It's not the same thing. We believe in right and wrong more than we believe in righteousness. It's not the same thing. What's right for you today could be wrong tomorrow. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And so if we live on this balance of good and evil, who knows where we're going to end up at? There's no way to know. Paul would say, I know the good I'm supposed to do, but I end up doing the other thing. And the thing that I know not to do, I end up doing that. Woe is me. He said, oh, man. But then he said, through Christ Jesus. It's a different scale that Jesus is putting us on. But watch this. Ever since the beginning, God has been trying to get back to face-to-face a relationship. He's been trying to get back to face-to-face conversation. Everybody say amen. Amen. That sounds like a blessing that God is trying to get face-to-face communication with me. Don't get scared now. I don't know if I want to talk to God face-to-face. He's been trying to do it ever since then. If I don't have time to go through the story, but y'all know it in Genesis. He starts talking to man. That's right. Tells him what to do. There is no delay. There's no discernment. I just told you what to do. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue. You name them animals. You have dominion. You're my image and my likeness. Are y'all understanding me? Everybody say face to face. So ever since then, he's been trying to get that face to face back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Abraham. He talked to Abraham. Was no priest there. This is Abraham. There's a reason he talked to Abraham that way. There was a way that Abraham lived that made himself blessed by God. Right. Listen to what I'm saying. Lot should have paid attention to what Abraham was doing. To have face-to-face conversation with God. Well, if I'm standing next to you and God talking to you and I don't hear nothing, then I need to talk to you to find out why he's talking to you, because I want him to talk to me too. It makes no sense for Brother Freddie to ask Brother Ronald what I'm saying because I'm right here.
That's right.
He going to lean over the aisle. Oh, Brother Ronald, what Montrell be saying? Montrell, right here. Talk to me. Come to me. There's a scripture, Isaiah 1:18. We love, if you're willing and obedient, you eat the good of the land. But the next one says, come, let us reason together. Jesus also says, come unto me, all that labor. So God is attempting to get this face-to-face back. But we just believe in middleman culture. Most of Christianity has developed a middleman culture. Well, you need somebody to go talk to God for you. Yeah, we believe in it. It started with the priests. It's the Moses. God told Moses, I'm going to talk to you face to face. Y'all remember that? At this particular time, everybody should be talking to Moses to see how you get that face to face favor. No, Moses. I appreciate you. I can accept a leader. And I appreciate you telling me what he told you. I won't talk to him though. Not so I could talk to him so I could have authority. Not so I could talk to him so I don't have to listen to you no more. I want to talk to him because if he's telling you this and there's all these good things coming through, I should have access as well.
That's right.
Amen. Then people should have been sitting Moses down and asking him, why he talking to you and not to us? But we've learned a middleman culture. So because we got a middleman culture, plenty of times we have to be mindful, and I'm going to read something in a second. We even have to be mindful of how we relate to Jesus, because many times the way that we've learned the gospel over the years, the popular gospel is what Jesus has done for us, what he can do for us, and all these things, and not realizing that he's trying to tell us to be like him.
Right. That's it.
There's a death that has to go on. But many times, because of our culture, because of how we've developed, we develop a middleman culture, and then we develop a culture where we just want to be told what to do and not be responsible to do. So I Apostle gonna pray about it. I know he got his prayers on it. You fill in the blank, whoever your prayer partner is. But they gonna pray. No. Did y'all know? Ooh.
Come on.
Whew. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
If you ready, say yeah.
Yeah.
Did you know, I'm going to go into scripture in a minute, that Jesus even removed himself as a middleman.
Oh, yeah.
It's in the Bible. I'll read it to you. The man says, Adrian, in that day, you're not going to ask me nothing. He said, the Father loves you.
Yeah.
And he's going to talk to you.
Yes.
So don't come ask Jesus. When the last time you asked Jesus to do something? When the next time you pray and ask Jesus to do something, then we wonder why our prayers don't work. You're talking to the wrong one. He said it, I ain't say it. He said in that day, and that day is today. Everybody say that day is today. Come on, everybody say that day is today. Say it again, that day is today. Let me give you a little history. We went from priesthood and there was a veil. Y'all know the story about the holies of the holies and all that? Yeah. We went from that to Jesus dying on the cross. But before Jesus dies on the cross, he says, I am the resurrection. So he was the resurrection before the resurrection. But I got to resurrect because y'all looking at me like that. And y'all believe in sacrifice. Listen, because you priest, you believe in the priest. What the priest been told you. You believe that so much what the priest told you that you need to see blood shed. So that's why blood got to be shed. But they literally say in the scripture that the veil was torn.
Right.
What does this mean? What does this mean that the veil was torn? Well, if a veil is torn, if there's a veil over in front of me, and then the veil gets torn, then I can see past the veil. There's no longer a place called the Holies of Holies, because now I am the place called the Holies of Holies. Everybody say amen. Come on, say it loud, say amen. So now I don't have to worry about the priest going in with the bells on his tassel because he might die because he in sin. I ain't got to worry about him going in for me because I'm going to go. It's the middleman culture. The modern day church, the modern Christian church got that middleman culture from the way the Roman Catholics did it. And the way they started it, and they put a priest right there, and then the priest and the cardinal, then you got 15 people you got to talk to before you get to God. Then they're going to talk to you in Latin, so you don't understand what they're saying. It sounds like why they didn't want black people to read.
That's right.
Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, I don't want y'all to know how to read, because if you ever learn how to read, you empower yourself to be free.
Amen.
So I'm going to talk to you in another language. I'm going to say some different little things. I'm going to tell you, buy your family members way out of hell, out of purgatory, whatever we want to call it. And so this eased over into what we call the modern day Christian church. But we don't call them priests no more. We call them pastors and bishops and.
Come on.
That's right.
And we don't even know what it's for, because middleman culture keeps us from being face to face with God. Where we're going as a church is going to take radical change in our mentality.
Yes. Yes,
everybody say radical change.
Radical change.
Come on, say it again. Radical change.
Radical change.
One more time. Say radical change.
Radical change.
It's going to take radical change in my belief system. Because I cannot put new wine in old skins. Because it's going to make it bust.
Yes.
That means if I try to be at the new place,
yes,
with this old thinking, I'm going to break down.
Yes.
You can't put a new cloth on the old cloth, because it's going to make the new old.
Right.
How are you going to do a fresh thing when you got old ways? Listen to me. My belief system has to get fresh.
Uh-huh.
The word I heard is a refresh. It's a refresh. Make it fresh again. Deleting the middleman culture. Sometimes, you ready for this? If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Even if you ain't ready, say amen.
Amen.
Sometimes, you ready for this? We are not even getting the best out of our apostle, because we approach it like a middleman culture. I hope some of the leaders that are watching and the people that are watching, maybe from other sanctuaries, other churches, you don't even get the best out of your leader because you're trying to make them a middleman. And you don't even see that they're trying to give you an example of who you're supposed to be.
That's right.
This is why Jesus says this. The works that I do.
And
what in the world? But we've got to retool our mind from middleman culture. There's a word. I woke up with a word on my mind the other day. And I heard the word rehab, rehabilitation. Now, some of y'all think y'all don't need rehab. You think that's for them other people. Y'all know y'all got some other people y'all think that, well, they need to go to rehab. They hooked on drugs, or they hooked on whatever. They need to go to rehab. We think we functional human beings and Christians. But you ain't functional until you look like God.
That's right.
You are dysfunctional until you look like God.
Yes.
Yee. Pressure. Everybody say pressure. Come on, say it again. Say pressure. Say it louder. Say pressure. I'm dysfunctional until I'm producing like God produced. I'm out of order. You ever seen a sign on the thing? And it's supposed to be working, but they say out of order? Yeah, you're out of order until you look like God. A lot of you witnessing take so long because you don't look like Him. They be running you down. You wouldn't have to ask a question. Nicodemus come to Jesus and say, how you doing all this?
Yes.
How we know you got to be from God?
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Because ain't nobody doing the things that you doing.
Come on.
My God.
That's good, sir.
And Jesus gives him the all-famous phrase, you must be
born again.
It's born again.
Yeah.
You're born, but now you be born again.
Yes.
Now it's a new life.
Yes.
It's a new way. It's a restoration.
Yes.
Right? The word rehab literally means to make fit again.
That's right.
Yeah, to rehabilitate something. One of the main words is to restore it.
Right.
I want to read it to you. Rehabilitation is the act of restoring someone to health or normal life Through training and therapy, we're training in the word, amen?
Right.
Everybody say training in the word.
Training.
All right. Through training and therapy, watch this. After imprisonment, addiction, or illness.
Yes.
Now, you don't think you got mental illness.
Come on, son.
Okay, I'm going to show you mental. I'm going to show you mental illness. Can I show y'all?
Yes.
Mental illness is when you pray a prayer for something and it don't show up and you keep praying that same prayer. What is wrong with you? The scripture says I have what I say.
Right.
Did I say it? Did it show up? No. Then what's going on with me? Mental illness is me to go back and do that same thing without inspecting myself. What's wrong with my words that they ain't working? What's not clicking with my words that they not... What's not clicking? God said, let there be light, and there was. What's not clicking with my words to where it's not coming through? That's insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting something different. It says, after imprisonment, addiction, or illness, addiction. Sometimes this middleman culture, we're addicted to it. Because sometimes... And I'm going to talk about it in a minute. Sometimes when we go face to face with God, there's a responsibility there. That sometimes I just wanted to be on apostle. I just wanted to be on the pastor. I just wanted to be on the elder. I just wanted to be on anybody else but me. But the word is responsibility. It's ability to respond. You're bypassing your abilities by passing them off. Listen, we're addicted to, and the old way that they taught us, we almost became addicted to that culture because we kept on saying Jesus was doing stuff for us without knowing that he was showing us how to do things. Yes, you got to die. Yeah. He calls, in Matthew 16, he calls Peter Satan. Peter, Apostle Peter, was called Satan before that. And he calls him Satan because he says, thou savorest not the things that be of God, but you savor the things that be of men. That means you are addicted to man's ways. So that's Satan. A little later, he comes back and says, if any man come after me, let him deny who?
Himself.
Oh, who? Oh, yeah. No, let apostle deny you. Let him correct you, rebuke you. No, you got to deny yourself. Let the pastor deny you and rebuke. No. It don't work because you probably going to get offended anyway. I'll start thinking in your head, I was right a little bit. Y'all know how we do. Amen. If any man come after me, that means any man can't come after me. And if he gonna come, if she gonna come, they gotta deny themselves. But not that's not it. And they gotta take up
the cross.
Not the cross.
His cross.
What's your cross? You ever ask yourself, what's your cross? Because your cross may not have been the one that he had to take. Ain't nobody crucifying nobody nowadays, no way. Don't be looking at that. That may not be your cross, but what is yours? You told me that 2 days ago. He said, what's your cross? I called EJ. I said, EJ, what's your cross? What is your? Are you carrying your cross? Because the moment that you're not carrying your cross, you're not following Christ. All right, but it's dogmatic. So rehab. So sometimes it takes a rehab. It takes a rehabilitation. It takes me to go. Are y'all familiar how rehab works? I can't hear you. Yeah, you're familiar with how rehab works, right? So somebody, how does rehab work? You check in. Sometimes you get checked in. Come on. I'm talking to y'all. This class.
They give you therapy.
So what? You got to spend a certain amount of time. That means you don't get to check in and check out. When you go to rehab, it might be 30 days. It might be 6 months. Sometimes it's like prison sometimes. What? It might be in there, but I'm in there to change from what I was to restore me back to what I should be. Everybody talking about restoration. We're talking about restoration and redemption, right? But redemption don't just happen because you prayed the prayer. Woo! There's a process. Salvation, you're born again, is a process. Yeah. There's things to change then. So rehab, you got to stick with it for a minute. And whatever you're rehabbing from can't come in that place. Whatever you're rehabbing from, they can't go. I say they because sometimes it's people. Everybody say amen, amen. But whatever it is that you're rehabbing from, they can't come. They can't call. They can't have a conversation. You can't smell it. If you're rehabbing from alcohol, you can't smell it. We ain't got it nowhere around because I got to keep you away from this long enough to get you back to yourself. Sounds like fasting. Sounds like what fasting does. See, fasting does not make you more spiritual. It shows you how spiritual you are already. Fasting only drops away the things that are smothering the thing that you really are. Rehab. Everybody say rehab. Come on, say it again. Say rehab. Watch this. The action of restoring someone to former privileges or reputation after a period of disfavor. Restoring it to the privileges and reputation. The privileges, see, y'all hear me? There's some privileges, Chance. There's some privileges that we have to be restored to. The only reason we don't operate in them because of how we think. How we function. How we believe. The action of restoring something that has been damaged to its former condition. That means you were something before. I always like to say this, people talk about being redeemed, but if I'm redeemed again, then I was deemed already. Because replay something, that means it was played already, you're playing it again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So if I restore something, that means there was something stored up already.
Yeah.
You get it? So how could I be restored if I wasn't something already? There's a scripture in Matthew 17. Go. Look at the word Matthew 17. I got to go to a couple of scriptures. Matthew 17. And I can show you the middleman culture. And I can show you all of that right now because what we do is this. The story. This is right after he tells Peter, he called Peter Satan. Then right after he says, any man come in, let him deny himself, take up the cross and follow me. he didn't lose his life, shall find it. He didn't find his life, shall lose it, right? Right? What profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his
soul?
This is right after that. He's going up to the Mount of Transfiguration. Watch this. 6 days, verse 1, 6 days, Jesus take Peter, James, and John, his brother, bring them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. Let them see something that everybody else ain't see. And his face did shine like the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared to him Moses and Elias talking with him. And then answered Peter and said, now see, Peter, you should have shut up. This is not time for you to talk, Peter. You fresh off of being called Satan. I think you need to humble yourself and listen. But come on, everybody say, find yourself. So you don't know the Bible story about you. You got to find yourself. Because sometimes some of them characters is who you are. The role you should be playing is the one of Jesus. But you can find yourself in Peter. But the church finds itself in Peter all day long. Always won't talk about something. Always talking. But it ain't time to talk. Didn't answer Peter. Nobody was talking to you, Peter. How you going to answer something and nobody was talking to you? Then answered Peter and said, Lord, unto Jesus. He's talking to Jesus now. Jesus talking to Moses and Elias. He didn't took off his skin. I don't know what that looked like. And you're going to see that and then start talking to Jesus and telling Jesus what we about to do. Come on, everybody say, find myself.
Find myself.
Come on, say it,
find myself.
And then Peter said, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Duh. Why you think I brought y'all?
Right. Come on.
If thou will, let us make here three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. See, that's what we do. That's us. I'm gonna show you. This is what we do. See, you find yourself at the church. As soon as we see something amazing, we go build some stuff. Go start a program. Somebody go start a ministry.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. Everybody say amen. Yeah. Y'all know it's real. That's what happens. We be in the footsteps of Peter. Soon as we see something, we gone. Build a tabernacle. And while, verse 5, I love it how he says it. It says, while he yet spake, in other words, he interrupted this foolishness.
Yeah.
Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this, the one that you're talking to, that you're trying to tell you want to build something, you're trying to build your business, you're telling the Lord what kind of business you want to build, you're telling God what kind of business you want to, what kind of ministry you want to build, what kind of life you want to build. Y'all think Jesus know already? In Matthew 6, he talk about it. He said, your father know what you need of before you ask him.
That's right.
So when you pray, pray like this. Stop praying like that. Y'all hear me? Stop praying like that. Because when you pray, pray like this. He said, the rest of them praying like that, but they'll have their reward. Because they want to be seen of the people. You got to make sure what you're praying for, you ain't praying for to be seen of the people. God does not need you to prove his glory. Everybody breathe in. That's the glory of God. Y'all, can't none of y'all make that.
That's right. Amen.
You can't make it. You ain't got no machine that can make it. You be getting it and you don't even know you're getting it. You close your eyes. It is not of yourself. It's the gift of God.
Yes.
Glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
You can't even say glory without air hitting your vocal cords to say glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
So that's glory of God. So God doesn't need you to shine for him. Sometimes we believe that. Because that's the culture that we develop. Bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which says, this is my beloved son. Hear you him. In whom I am well pleased. Stop talking. Hear him. Yeah. Stop building. Hear him. But you see the difference? You see the difference? Now you got a choice to make. You get to start telling them what you want build, or you can stop talking and hear him. Same thing I said about Moses. Same thing I said about Abraham. John chapter 5, verse 39. Go there quick. To rehab, you got to have a rehab of your mentality. You got to shake that loose. I know some people watching me say, well, that's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. That's too much. Yeah, it's too much. We have a tendency to go to Jesus. 5:39, search the scriptures. We ain't got no problem with that, huh? For any of them, you think you have eternal life because that's what you're looking for. And they are they which testify of me. Verse 40. And you will not come to me that you might have life. And we will read 39 for years and never read 40. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Jesus is saying that the scriptures that you're searching to try to get eternal life, they're talking about me. They've been talking about me the whole time. Do y'all know I'm crucified with Christ? It's Galatians 2:20, right? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. It's Paul talking. Yet not I, but Christ living in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the
Son of God.
Who loved me and gave me. Wait, what's the faith of the Son of God? The question is answered really easy. Faith is a conviction of truth A conviction of trust. That's the faith. That's the definition of faith, is a conviction of trust. So what is the conviction of trust of Jesus? What is the faith of the Son of God? And then we read those scriptures more than we read the ones Jesus is saying himself. We do it. This is what I heard the other morning. We're to a place now where the red words are not optional anymore. They're not optional. You can't pick and choose which ones. You got to live and die by the red. Yeah. Which one you want to go to? Paul said this. Paul talking about Jesus. Well, this script say this. That script talking about Jesus. The prophets were prophesying Jesus, and the ones after Jesus were pointing back at him. So why would Brother Freddie be asking Brother Ronald what I be saying when I'm standing right here with you?
Right. Come on.
Middleman culture. Paul was saying some stuff that was, I gotta say, it's so fire. It was so on point. To say that I am crucified with Christ, Paul is trying to say that how he living.
That's right, that's right.
But the people wanted a middleman culture so much that they made Paul the middleman. And now they start asking Paul what we supposed to do. I'm trying to tell you. He just said it. I said, this is it. What did Jesus think about it? He talked about it. He said it. It's red. It's red words. He said it right there. He said it. We read all the ones we're going to read. He's talking about Jesus. Even Jesus said it in John 5 just now. So the scriptures, they testify to me. But he said, y'all won't come to me. Is it possible that we stuck with Paul and Peter and didn't go to Jesus? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Is it possible that we got a doctrine from Paul and Peter, but we didn't realize what the doctrine really was? Because whatever language you speak, that's how you hear things. Whatever you're conditioned to, that's how you hear it. So whatever you're conditioned to, if your mind is conditioned, if your belief system is conditioned in a certain way, then it doesn't matter what I say to you, you're gonna take it like you take it.
Right.
You're gonna hear it like you hear it, you're gonna compute it like you compute it, and you're gonna put it wherever you want to put it.
Right.
So it's a rehab, it's a reconditioning.
Yes,
change my thoughts. Deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. Even the stuff you thought you knew. Because there's a place where we're going where there's some roads you didn't go down before. You won't be able to go down them by memory. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. You won't be able to go down them by memory. You had to be led.
Yes.
It's going to be to a place where the ground behind you is going to start disappearing.
Wow.
You won't be able to go back. And your next step will be a step in the air. And watch me. And the step, the ground will be forming as you take the step. See, hey, everybody say, this is faith.
Yeah, that's faith.
Come on, say, this is faith. See, it's not, you sat down that chair, but that's not faith. You knew that chair was going to hold you. But then Jesus get up and tell you, stand right here and sit down. And I'm going to hold you. I'm trying to tell you where we're going. Listen to what I'm saying. Listen, I'm saying where we going, but it's going that way regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And whether you go or not, it's still going that way.
Yeah.
Notice I say whether you go or not, because I'm going. Well, I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
I'm going.
I can't hear y'all.
I'm going.
I'm going. I can't hear y'all. There's a place that he's taking us. Ain't nobody never seen nobody spit in the dirt and put it in somebody's eyes and tell them go wash.
No.
Which that was ruthless, by the way. He could have led him over there. He spit in the dirt, make spittle, put in a blind. He already blind. You put more dirt in my eyes? And then told me to go wash. How? I barely got over here to you. Uh, The man at the pool of Bethesda, y'all familiar with him? Yeah. He sat there for all those years. He had a belief system. Hold on. He had a belief system based on miracles. He had a solidified belief system that was fortified and based on the miraculous power of God. And Jesus starts talking to him and he's checking his belief system. And if you ever get to Jesus, he's going to check your belief. Yeah, he gonna check your belief. He gonna make you question all. Yeah, he gonna check your belief if you ever get to him. A lot of times your belief is not checked because you didn't get to him. He asked me, tell me what you believe. How's it going? He said, I've been down here for a long time. He said, but I've just been waiting. He said, because every so often, right. Angel come down, right. Trouble the waters, right. And the first person to get in there get healed. Yeah. Right? He said, but I ain't got no man to put me. So really what he's telling Jesus is, are you going to hang around and help me get in that water? Come on, y'all. Come on. We find this stuff. He really telling Jesus, I ain't got nobody to help me in the water, but if you want to kick it, you ain't busy. All I heard was Jesus saying what he said to the woman at the well. Woman, if you knew who you was talking to, you asked me for a drink. If you knew who you was talking to, you'd be telling me stir the water. And that's exactly what he does. He has a solid belief system. I need you to check yourself. Listen, I don't care how long you've been in it. I don't care what all your victories that you've gotten so far are probably grace anyway. Listen to what I'm saying. And mercy. Right? We stumbled upon, we got a victory, and we're gonna do a testimony. You know you got that accidentally. Listen to what I'm saying. You have to check your belief system and check it because Jesus is asking him what he believes, and he has a firm belief system. He quoted it out to him. And it was based on a miracle. The angel coming down, stirring the water, somebody getting healed, that's miraculous.
Right.
And then Jesus, while he stands there and talks to the man, tells him, take up your bed and walk. This is a different thing. It's another level. It's requiring something of him that he hadn't done before.
That's good.
But he had a belief system that was based on some miracles. Could it be that we have a belief system that's based on the miracles, but there's a higher place God wants us to go?
Yeah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it again, amen.
Amen.
Come on, say it again, amen.
Amen.
But you know, when you're flying a plane, they got to pressurize the cabin. Because if you don't pressurize the cabin, when you get to a certain pressure, it's going to crush you.
That's right.
Yeah, anybody ever flown before? If you fly, you're going to feel it. Your ears start popping a little bit, right? Right? Well, they're only pressurizing the cabin so it can normalize the pressure that you're used to. So when you go to a new altitude, that new altitude won't crush you.
Come on.
Everybody say pressure.
Pressure.
Come on, say it again. Say pressure.
Pressure.
One more time, say pressure.
Pressure.
But sometimes we rebuke the pressure. I don't care if your ears pop and swallow. Get some gum.
Yeah.
Who cares how it feels? Everybody say pressure.
Pressure.
So when I'm going to a new place, it's going to pressure me a little bit. Yeah, everybody say amen. Will, it ain't, that ain't like, I'm so used to this. I'm pressure. It's uncomfortable. It's a little tight up in here. Right? I can't stretch my legs. My knees about to lock up. Let them lock up because maybe they'll loosen up. That's uncomfortable to get spit put in your eyes and to be told to go to wash. Jesus tells this man at the pool, take up your bed and now that ain't right. He see the man ain't. You looking around. Y'all, you know, we'd have done it. We'd have looked around and be like, man, Jesus, wrong for that. Look how he be talking to him. Some people be saying about apostles. Y'all don't even know what's going on. He be talking so strong. He's just hard. Y'all don't even know what's happening to you. But if you're weak, you're weak. If you don't want the pressure, we won't go up there. Tell a man, get up, take up your bed and walk. I just told you I'm waiting on somebody to put me in the water. I just told you. Would you see the angel coming? Would you? I just told you. He said, take up your bed and walk. Not just get up and walk. He didn't say walk first. So while he down, come on, everybody use your imagination. While he's down, that doesn't make no sense. It don't make no sense. He should say, get up, shake your legs, make sure they working, and then pick up your bed. No, he said, take up your bed first. So this man is down, can't walk, and got to start picking up on his bed first. It's not comfortable. It's not normal. You ain't never seen it before. So the places that Jesus, watch this, is trying to take us and show us, we're not even showing up to him for him to tell us. That rich young ruler came and ran. He said he ran up. He said he got down and started worshiping. Come on, where all the worshipers at? No, amen. So he fell down and started worshiping. The good master, what you want? Eternal life. Jesus, why would you, first of all, why you call me good? Ain't none good but one, that's God. Now remember, he the one that showed up. Nobody called him. Nobody called the meeting and told him to come. He came running on his own volition, asking for eternal life. Jesus said, okay, cool, I hear you. You did all the commandments, did all the, oh yeah. I've been a member of Word of Life for 30 years. I went to ministry school and I'm in LTMA.
Come on.
I've been following. Yeah, I got that down. I already know how to pray in tongues. I already know the Ephesians and the Philippians prayer. I know them by heart. I've been reading the Bible. I just read it for years. I read it every day. Cool. And then it says Jesus beheld him because I saw him. I saw the way that he was talking, the way that he was doing. Oh, you're missing something. He said he beheld him and he loved him. Yeah. Remember now, love is not this little infatuation feeling. God is love and love is God, so love is a person. And love is an identity. He identified him. Oh, I'm able to see you now. So you got to let Jesus identify you. Watch this, we're going to find ourselves. Jesus says, oh, okay, one thing you're lacking. Go, sell what you got. Give it to the poor, you have treasures in heaven, all eternal life you're talking about, and then take up the cross. Follow me. What would your response have been? You go sell what you got. And take up the cross and follow. He walks away sad because he's got great possessions in his mind. Then I want you to think about your great possessions of thoughts that you got. All them great scriptures that you're quoting, them great affirmations that you've been quoting all that time and they don't work. You've been quoting all them years and ain't got no different result. Hey, listen, hey, everybody say amen.
Amen.
There's got to be a point to where you look around and say, what is wrong with me?
That's right.
If you're not willing to do that one, then you're wasting your time. You're wasting your time, you're wasting our time, you're wasting apostle time, you're wasting the air in this room.
Yes, sir.
If you're not willing to look at yourself and say, what is wrong? Say it right now.
What is wrong with me?
He goes away sad because he had great possessions. And many times, watch this, many times I said the red words are not optional anymore. Many times we don't come to Jesus because we know he's going to tell us something that's going to challenge us too much. I know he's going to ask me for something that I ain't quite ready to stop. Rehab. Red rehab. I know, doctor, he's going to ask me for something that I ain't willing to let go because I already got it. I'm developed in this already. Sometimes you don't even know what your cross is. He's trying to show you your cross because your cross is the only place you can resurrect. You heard that?
Yes, sir.
Roger, cross, your cross, take up his cross. That's the only place you can find resurrection. I'm trying to show you your cross. But it's a bit too much for you to handle. So I go away sad, and I'm just going to show up for prayer next week. I'm going to come back to service and get my seat. Because what he said was, I be hearing them songs be talking about, God, I want to see your face. I want to fall down in your presence. If you fall down in God's presence, here's what's coming next. He's going to say, hey, get up right quick. Hey, stand up. Now go back and do this. Hey, get up. I appreciate it. I appreciate you telling me how good I am. I know already. You don't think God do that? Yeah, I got you. I appreciate that. Go do what I told you so I know that it's real.
Yeah.
People be singing, I want to be tried by fire. Yeah. When that burner come on, I'm saying, deliver me, Jesus. Turn it off. I'm turning off. I'm done. That's enough. Come ask Jesus. Can the woman come ask Jesus? Can my son sit on your right hand, your left hand? Can they bat a cup that I'm about to bat? Yeah, they can bat. Are you okay? And sure enough, when it's time for him to bat a cup, ain't none of them there. Y'all, we have hindsight. We have these stories already. Y'all see it? Like, thank God for the Bible. Thank God for it. Watch this. We have hindsight. We're able to see how these people are failing. Do y'all see that?
Yeah.
We're able to see the failures. It's the teacher used to give us a study guide.
Yeah.
And the study guide, I had a certain teacher told me the study guide was just like the test.
Right.
No, it's exact. She said, no, this is not a trick. It's exactly like the test. 1 through 25, yeah. It's just like 1 through 25 you're going to get on the test next week.
Right.
All you got to do is master the study guide. Because if you master the study guide, when it's time for the test,
you know it
already because I gave it to you. Lord. John 16. Verse 22, and you know, and ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. These words are read. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Verse 23. Y'all see it?
Yes, sir.
Okay, is it in the Bible?
Yes, sir.
So y'all know I wasn't making that up, right? In that day is today. Everybody say that day is today. Come on, say it again. That day is today. Come on, say that day. That day is today. And in that day, you shall ask me. You know, I sat there and I read the Lord's Prayer. You know, the Lord's Prayer was not involving Jesus. The Lord's Prayer didn't ask Jesus for nothing. How did the Lord's Prayer go? Our Father. What was Jesus trying to do? He's trying to show us how to be like him in the flesh. Go to the Father. Because in that day, somebody cussing me out right now. Somebody with a religious spirit telling me I can ask Jesus what I want. You keep asking him. And he gonna keep saying, don't ask me nothing. Go to the Father. Why, Marvin, if he's omnipresent. That's what we call him, right?
Yeah.
That means he's everywhere, right? If God is everywhere, why do I need a middleman to access him? Unless you lie, unless you believe he ain't everywhere, you believe he with the special people. Which one? Is God with the special people or is he everywhere? Because if he everywhere, then you got access. In that day, what day? The day that you realize that I'm in the Father in me, you in me, and I'm in you. The day that you understand this, in that day, you're not gonna, you ain't gonna ask me nothing. Whatever you ask the Father in my name, and it's not as simple as saying in the name of Jesus. Could we say the in the name of Jesus? We say in the name of Jesus so fast, it don't even sound like the name of Jesus no more. He'd be like, name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Sound like one long word. In the name of Jesus. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. It's not Alakazam. That's what we, yeah. In my name, in my character, he would give it to you. I mean, anything you ask the Father, like I be asking him. Pray like I pray. How did Jesus pray? Ask the Father like I be asking him. But when you pray after this manner. Hitherto, verse 24, you have asked nothing in my name. That means you asking, but it ain't in my character. You've been asking, but it don't sound like what I would ask for. You've been asking, but them prayers don't sound like my prayers. Sheesh. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time coming when I shall no more speak to you in Proverbs, but I shall what? Wait, Jesus said he's gonna show you plainly?
Yes.
Wow. Verse 26. I know y'all say he's gonna show you plainly, and I know y'all think that's still coming. He gonna show us something plainly. He didn't show you plainly already. If any man come after me, you wanna find your life? Lose yours. He showed us how to do the 100-fold. The preachers preach about the 100-fold return. Now, that's easy. Ain't nobody love houses and land, mothers and fathers and wives and children for my sake in the gospel. He said, if they did it, they're gonna get 100-fold. And he started listing the stuff out and he said, now in this time. That's pretty easy. It's basic math. Give it all up to get it all. See, wow. Amen. Stop using discernment and mystery as an excuse to not do what's practically sitting in front of you that Jesus said. Well, it's a mystery. What does he mean when he say deny yourself? He deny yourself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever yourself be doing all the time, deny that. Mm-hmm. That's not hard. We don't need the Holy Spirit to reveal that. You know yourself. Just plain. There's a lot of plain and simple things that Jesus says, but we cherry pick. The one that agreed with my prayers, that's the one I have. And that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. You mean tell me you're not going to pray for me, Jesus? You mean to tell me you're not going to request it for me, Jesus? Do it for me, Jesus. Do it, Jesus. You could do it. I did it already. What more you want me to do? I died on the cross. I got beat. All y'all left me. I got beat, whooped, all that. I died on the cross alone. What more y'all want from me? You hear? Can y'all hear? What did you hear? For the Father himself loveth you, because he had loved me and had believed that I came out of God. Came forth from the Father, and I'm coming to the world. Again, I leave the world and I go to the Father. He's trying to tell you who you are. He's trying to tell you that you came from the Father. Come on, say, I came from the Father.
I came from the Father.
Come on, say it again. Say, I came from the Father.
I came from the Father.
One more time. Say, I came from the Father.
I came from the Father.
So I'm trying to show you how people that come from the Father act. I'm trying to show you how people that come from the Father talk. I'm trying to show you how people that come from the Father function.
Yes, sir.
The thing that you've been trying to get to, the level of spirituality that you've been trying to get to is already in you.
Yes.
You just got to see what the one that come from the Father look like and then be like that.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes. For God, John 3:16, we love it, right? Yes. For God, y'all quote it. Go ahead, quote it. Ready, go.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only
Son. That whosoever believe it well. Now, what does it mean to believe in him? Does that mean when you pray the prayer that you believe in him now? You know, y'all know the prayer I'm talking about, the salvation prayer. Does that mean you believe in him now? Oh, we got to, no, we got some more belief, got to have him, right? what does it mean to believe in him? How do you believe in Jesus? Go to church? You know that ain't it, right? How do you believe in Jesus? Well, how do I believe what someone is saying if I don't spend time with the sayings? It's not optional. How can I believe like Jesus if I don't even know how Jesus believed?
That's right.
Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden. You working, and bravo, because you got a little work ethic. But I'm going to give you rest. He's going to give it to me. He's going to give me rest. All right, Jesus, give me rest. Give me rest, Jesus. He said, yeah. I'm going to show you how to rest. Take my yoke on you. You know, a yoke means you got to pull. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
That yoke get around your neck and it's a little uncomfortable. Now we got to get out in the dirt and go pull the rolls.
That's right.
Yeah. So this is how I'm going to give you rest. I'm going to give you a yoke. We want the yoke to be destroyed. That's what they said back then. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you.
Yeah.
And learn of me.
That's right.
Then he says, because I'm meek and lowly in heart. When you come and take the yoke, you got to spend some time with me.
That's right.
You got to see what I'm saying, Brittany. You got to see what I'm saying. You got to go in there and look at them words that I said and stay there with them. Paul was talking about them words.
Yeah.
What's John? What's John you want? First, second, or third one? That was talking about them words. Right there. It's right there. It didn't change. It's right there, sitting on the Bible on your dresser every day. This is Jesus. You got Jesus' thoughts right there. Oh, show me what you think, Jesus. I'm meek and lowly at heart. I thought he said, gonna give it to me. He said, no, you're gonna find rest. Because if I teach you how to find it, can't nobody steal it from you.
That's right. That's good.
If I gotta keep middleman, if I gotta keep giving you the anointing, then you don't know you're anointed.
Right.
If I gotta keep giving you the anointing, Brother Will, you gotta keep coming to me for the anointing. But then when I tell you no, it's in you. Then now it's two of us walking around with the anointing. It's two of us walking around fully empowered to do whatever God wants us to do.
Yes.
It's two of us walking around as one with God.
Yes.
This is where we're going. This is where we're headed. Where God is taking us. Listen to what I'm trying to say. What is coming in the near future, your old ways won't work no more. You're going to go to the Father for yourself. It's already in you. You say, well, how I do that? He's telling us all day long, learn of me, learn of me, learn of me, learn of me. Don't learn about me, learn of me. Did y'all hear me? I got to say it again. Don't learn about me. Learn of me. And so I go in there and I start reading them scriptures. I start reading them ones I read. I appreciate all the other ones. The whole Bible inspired by the Holy Ghost. I get it. But I go to the reds because He our Savior. That's what we say, right?
Yes.
So I go in and I look at him. There it is right there. What you trying to pray over there in that other place, he's living prayer right there. He's living that prayer. So I go to him and I see what he's saying. I go in there and go to Matthew 5. I go to 4, because that's when he get tempted. And he get called out his name, trying to question his identity. I go to 5, and I found out something about Jesus. Are y'all ready?
Yes.
He's not teaching principles, he's teaching personality. No, no, he's not telling you a principle to follow. Do 1, 2, and 3, and it's going to happen. No, Jesus speaks very matter-of-factly. When he says, blessed are the meek, he's not saying, oh, you need to be meek. I'm just telling you, this is what happened to the meek people. So whatever you got to do to align with the meekness, you can do that. Or you cannot, but blessed are the meek. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
It's very matter of fact. It's very right down the line. And so it is. It puts us in a place where we can't miss. It puts us in a place where we hit the target every time. If we would just go and listen to the one that hit the target every time. We can say that Jesus hit the target every time, can't we? I can't hear y'all. We can say that Jesus, the Christ, hit the target every time. So now I'm going to read what he said. I'm not doubting what nobody else said, but what they was talking about was talking about what he was talking about. And what he was talking about is who you really are. Are you hearing me?
Yes, sir.
Sometimes we miss our identity because we're asking for it from the wrong people.
Yeah.
And sometimes the wrong pages. Amen, 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 amen.